Easter according to the Nicene Creed. Part 11. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign bus rolls on day 740 since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1,105 since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. The Bible reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time." I want you to notice how Paul kept using that phrase, "he was seen, he was seen." Count them. Verse 4 says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is a biblical fact. And he based it upon the Old Testament. But notice the words "was seen of," because Paul knew, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that skeptics and unbelievers were going to ask, "How do we know? Do you have proof? Do you have eyewitness testimony?" And so he proceeded to repeat this phrase, "and that he was seen of Cephas," that's one, "then was seen of the 12, he mentioned the disciples twice, that's twice, number two. "After that he was seen," number three, "of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or have died. Number four, "after that he was seen of James," and then number five, "then of all the apostles," he repeated them. He stated the apostles who had been with Jesus twice. Number five, "and last of all he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time." Undeniable proof of the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I have a question for you. What does this all mean? If Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried on the cross, yourself back there, I can't hear you. If Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and this is a fact, in light of that, how are you living? What are you doing for the resurrected Lord? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you that we live because of you. And Lord, we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, through you we move and have our being. And because of you, we have the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight and that which is profitable in the world. For without your grace, without your death, burial, and resurrection, without the might and power of your Holy Spirit, your strength and help, Lord, we would not do anything worthwhile in the world. We would be a part of the gang that's trying to tear down your world and to destroy it, and to destroy ourselves at the same time. Have mercy and grace, Lord, upon those of us who claim to be believers in you, and yet we walk in the flesh and not in the resurrection power of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and respond right, and have the right attitude and spirit, and do your will, and save those who have been slipped to Mickey, who have never been born again, who heard the gospel and may have been glad about it, but they did not truly believe, and they have acted like the Judas of the Bible. They're in church, but they are betraying you all at the same time. And so, Lord, rebuke and bind. I know this is not popular praying or preaching, but Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd rebuke and bind that demonic spirit, for it has been exposed through prayer, and that it would not continue to hinder your work. Or try to hinder your work. Move it out of the way, thwart their plans, and that is the devil and his cohorts, and have your holy gospel to move freely down the highway of life, opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears, and saving lost souls, and reviving wayward Christians. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Lord, grant me fresh anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your holy gospel and your holy word on this Friday. Another good Friday, because we're remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Dr. Brad Price said, in this passage, Paul implied that if anyone wanted to question the people who saw Jesus after his resurrection, that could and should be done, because they were still, some of them were still with us. Christianity was started and perpetuated with many different miracles. Thousands of people witnessing Jesus before and after his resurrection, and the beliefs of Christianity were delivered once for all time. No other religion has been introduced, verified, and perpetuated in the way that Christianity has been, and we ought to treasure that as Christians, and we ought to thank God for that as Christians. We ought to live like We appreciate it. And as the Christians in Sri Lanka died, we ought to be willing to die if necessary because of the historic Christian faith in our Savior Jesus Christ, who started it all, who died for our sins, was buried, and who was resurrected on the third day. We ought to live like it. We ought to act like it. We ought to express the joy that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, through being born again in a joyless world. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, the Nicene Creed. In this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith. We are proclaiming the gospel, but we're also talking about the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church, how that we as Christians who are falling away from the old time gospel, the old time religion, we might as well admit it, so many Bible-believing Christians are falling away and getting away, Danae, from the old landmarks. I think I'm going to sing that song. I didn't know what it meant when I was growing up in Brooklyn, New York. That's where they played it the most, my mom and dad and my grandmother. The old landmarks. I believe surely Caesar, who's been living, I guess, my soul, she still looks young. I believe that she was the one who used to sing it originally when I was a child, and surely Caesar is still singing to this day, as far as I know. The old landmarks, I think I'm going to listen to that and sing that, try to sing it after services today. Well, be that as it may, we need to get back to it. We need to get back to the old landmarks, the old time religion. For many are falling away. A woman today or yesterday announced she's the president of a seminary. But she announced it, boldly announced, she does not believe in the creation of the world, by God. She does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She does not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. She does not believe all of that. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, she doesn't believe in any of that anymore. And she's the president of a seminary that used to believe that the world was created by God, that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus was born of a virgin, and that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, the head of the seminary, certainly we can call that one the cemetery, is announcing to the world she doesn't believe this. What a shame. But that's what's happening in the hearts of many people who used to believe those things. We need to return to it. And how that the world ought to hear the truth again. They need to hear what Christians believe, and they need to believe in the Christ of the Bible. And so, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the importance of early church creeds, Dr. Anthony Costello said, knowing the creeds can help us better appreciate the rich intellectual history of our faith. Something we all want to do as faithful defenders of Christ's church, but are oftentimes unaware of. So to know the deposit of faith left for us by our spiritual forefathers can be not only apologetically useful for defending certain claims, but also spiritually formative in putting us in touch with our past. As I have stated to you before, many people are presented with the gospel and they believe on Christ, but they have no historical perspective, and the church does not give them one. It's all about right now. And the honeymoon is sweet, but Christians need to know about their Christian history, which I think is the most important history in the world. I did not realize the importance of Christian history because of the way that I was discipled by a Bible-believing church until I was well into 30 years of serving the Lord. And a whole lot of questions would have been answered if I had had a good course in Christian history. And so that's why I encourage pastors to install a course of study, a complete course of study of church history, Christian history. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this series we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. And today we will continue looking at the next section of the new Nicene Creed, which reads as follows: He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From these words in the Nicene Creed, we see that the ascension of Christ is not an ending, but the beginning and continuation of a new age of evangelism, grace, and love. Second, the ascension of Christ marks the beginning of the fulfillment of Christ's kingdom on earth. We talked about all of this on yesterday. And then thirdly, the ascension marks Jesus' return to the Father. After his resurrection, Jesus tells Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." When Jesus went back to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, imagine the great homecoming celebration that awaited him there. You talk about a ticker tape parade. This was the greatest celebration of all time, no doubt. He had fulfilled the purpose for which he had been sent into the world. All of heaven rejoiced as its hero came home, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus did not just go back to heaven to celebrate his victory and to have a seat. He went to heaven to prepare a place for us and to begin his intercessory ministry work for us before his heavenly Father. Jesus did not only work for us, he is working for us now. The ascension and exaltation of Jesus Christ is very important for our understanding of the church's role in the world today. Dr. Walter Elwell said clearly, "The greatest theological emphasis of the New Testament regarding the ascension is that Christ now regains the glory he had with the Father before the world began, is now able to send his powerful Spirit into the world and reigns from heaven over every authority and power in heaven and earth. We can be confident that while we are down here, Jesus Christ is up there interceding for us, overseeing his work through us, and preparing a place for us." Can somebody say amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, on this past Sunday, I shared with you part of an interview between Focus on the Family host Jim Daly and investigative journalist, former atheist turned Christian, Lee Strobel, who described how women, being the leaders in the resurrection account, bolsters the claim that Jesus actually physically rose from the dead. After investigating this evidence on his own as an atheist, Lee Strobel came to the conclusion that what the Bible says is true, and that led him to give his life to Christ. He said in the interview, "I read John 1:12, which says, 'But as many as received him,' Jesus Christ, 'to them he gave the right to become the children of God or the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name.'" That verse forms an equation of what it means to become a child of God. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And then he said, "Receive equals become." Believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He claimed to be the Son of God. He backed up that claim by returning from the dead. I believed that based on the historical data, this investigative journalist said. But that wasn't enough, he said. I had to receive this free gift of God's grace, forgiveness, and eternal life that Jesus purchased on the cross when he died for our sins as our substitute and paid for all of the sins that we've committed so that we could be given this free gift of salvation, this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And then when we receive that gift in prayer of repentance and faith, then we become a child of God. I think there's a lot of people who would agree with the resurrection evidence, but their life has not changed, he said. Their values have not changed. Their character has not changed. Listen carefully, people. Their morality has not changed. They have not changed because they haven't taken the next step to receive Jesus Christ into their hearts, into their lives, as their Lord and Savior in a prayer of repentance and faith. This former atheist investigative reporter for the Chicago Sun, I believe, newspaper. He did his research very well, and he made the gospel as plain as it can be made. The question today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again? We're not talking about church membership. We're not talking about giving money to the church. We're not talking about helping old ladies across the street and doing good work and serving meals to the homeless. All of that is all good and well and dandy. But that will not save your soul. Have you believed on Christ with your heart? Have you received Christ into your heart through prayer? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you received Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so, and if you say, well, preacher, I prayed a prayer, or I did something in church one time, but my life has not changed. Well, then you have not truly trusted Christ as your Savior. You have not truly received him. Because once you receive Christ, your life will change. It may not be as dramatic as the Apostle Paul's, or mine, or other great sinners, but you will see a change. And one of the first things that you will notice in your life is that you will begin to be convicted and feel conviction about any evil thing you say, think, or do. That is the Holy Spirit working in your life and controlling your life and keeping you from evil. Whereas before you got saved, you didn't care about how much you sinned. In fact, your whole aim was to sin. That was your goal of the day, to sin. But once you get born again and you trust Christ as Savior and you receive Christ in your heart, something happens on the inside. You're not going to be perfect, but you will be different. And so if that has not happened in your life, that's what Lee Strobel is talking about. Maybe you believed the facts of the resurrection, but you didn't receive Christ as your Savior. Do that today. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. It's called the Sinner's Prayer, or the Prayer of Salvation. If you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, receive him today through this simple prayer and make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I understand because of my sins of breaking your Ten Commandments, such as lying and stealing and lusting and taking your holy name in vain, I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart. I receive you into my heart and life, the free gift of salvation. Holy Father God, save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know, or whatever email address you have on your site where you are, and we'll get it. For we have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.